Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 66, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We have two mommies on the line today, myself, Jennifer Parnell, and Alex Aronoff. Alex, how's it going?
Pretty good. Howdy.
Hi. So today we are going to talk about some cool new products we just learned about from Baby Bjorn, a kinder but possibly more effective way to discipline your kids. A new study claiming full-time working moms are healthier than stay-at-home moms, and a new Facebook app that lets your friends replace pictures of your adorable little baby or toddler with that of reptiles and cats. So our show is brought to you by Drobo.com, and we'll get around to discussing them later in the show. But first, I want to welcome you, Alex, and just say hi. It's good to see you again. It seems like I've seen you quite a bit this week.
Yeah, it's been nice. Just for those of you who don't know, Jennifer and I live just about 20 minutes in a bridge right away. So we get to see each other, if not once a week, sometimes twice a week, and it's really nice.
Yeah, and our little girls seem to really start have kind of fallen in love with each other.
Yes, they used to pick on each other. When I say they used to, Reese used to pick on Elle, and now they've definitely fallen in love, and they're little besties.
Yeah, I guess Reese has come out of her pushing phase because she seems to be very sweet now that they're together.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons Alex and I got together this week is because Baby Bjorn was hosting a little get-together for some San Francisco mommy bloggers to introduce two new products that they're debuting in October. And we put up a post about it today, but these are pretty cool products. The first is a booster seat for those kids who've outgrown the high chair, or maybe you can't get them to stay in the high chair and they'd rather be at the dinner table in a regular big chair, maybe because their siblings are or what have you. But generally for the 3+ upset, and it was pretty cool because it has a strap on the bottom that would fit to any chair. And I definitely could see myself buying something like this. What did you think, Alex?
But it was that there weren't a ton of nooks and crannies. Like, when Reese eats, she's kind of messy and things fall, and I'm constantly cleaning her high chair and I can't get into all the little crevices. So this was very smooth and streamlined. I also thought that I would put a 2-year-old in there. So I'm not sure why. I'm sure they have their reasons for starting at 3 years old. But I would like to try it with the 2-year-old.
I think the reason why she said a 3, what they recommend for 3, and I guess most companies need to recommend the safest standard possible for their products, is because there's not a strap-in belt on the top to keep the child in place.
Got it.
And Natalie Gafori, I guess when she reviewed the Svan booster seat chair, that was one of the issues she was having with one other, I guess, seat that she was using with Dominic, is he's quite a mover, and by the time dinner was over, he was like almost halfway out of the chair. So because they didn't have the lap belt, I think that's why they said the 3+.
That makes sense. Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. Reese stays in her seat until we get her out. She doesn't use a strap, so I don't know if I'll try it or not with her. Maybe we'll just wait.
I bet she could do it. I mean, I think we all know what our own children are capable of. Elle likes to stand on chairs right now. And there is that constant disciplining of, we don't stand in chairs, we sit in chairs. I probably say that 50 times a day.
They say repetition is the key.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the second product, I want to go ahead and share that. I guess the price point for that was around $79, and I guess it's going to be available in October sometime.
Yep.
And so the other product was for a much younger age range, from when you bring baby home from the hospital to when they are sitting up, and it was a beautiful bassinet. It's called the Bassinet Harmony. Very sleek, modern design, cream-colored fabric, breathable mesh fabric around the bassinet. And what was cool about it is that, or one of the things I thought was really cool, was it didn't rock. And I know some bassinets don't rock, or they just sit in place. But it had these little, the legs that support it are sort of springy. So even when the baby moved, it would get a little bit of a gentle rocking, or I guess bouncing movement, sort of like when the mommy's holding the baby. What do you think about it, Alex?
What I liked about it was So we live in an apartment and we don't have a lot of space. It's really compact compared. We borrowed a friend's bassinet, so we don't have one. We gave it back. But and it was beautiful. I think it was from Pottery Barn, you know, from years ago. And it was sturdy and loved it, but it was just really big and bulky. And this one is compact and it can fit right next to the bed. It's also just easily portable within the house. And I also liked, because we don't have a lot of space, once you're done using it, you know, after the baby has outgrown it, it folds up really, really thinly and you can store it in a closet or under a bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really surprised by how light it was too. You know, if you wanted to pick it up and take it to the next room or, and even with the booster seat that we discussed earlier, it looked like a heavy item, but it was pretty light. You could easily take it out to a restaurant if you wanted to. One of the points that the marketing director for Baby Bjorn said, one of the key selling points of it is, I guess in Europe, which I think Alex is possibly thinking about a trip to Europe, that they don't have very many, they don't have high chairs or booster seats available at the restaurant. So it would be useful for something like that. But back to the bassinet, I really loved it. We tried a bassinet with Elle too. We were given, I guess, maybe more of an antique sort of bassinet. And I don't know if it was the mattress. I don't know what it was, but Elle just did not take to that bassinet. And so we ended up putting her in her crib a week later. So we didn't even use a bassinet, but I loved the idea of this and knowing they were close, and because our next baby's room is going to be a little further away than our room. The price point is around $350 for the bassinet, and it comes with you can buy a canopy to go with it, and that's around $80. But it's really beautiful. It is something that I think would last for generations. I mean, I've gotten so many hand-me-downs that are Baby Bjorn brand that I don't doubt that they would, you know, last for friends or relatives or whoever.
Yeah, speaking just of Baby Bjorn and products, they didn't introduce this. This is a few years old, but I was really surprised to find out that they actually have a carrier, not just the regular Baby Bjorn that's 0 to 6 months, you know, that we all have used and loved. I used mine up until Reese was 6 months, and then she just got really heavy. And because I didn't know that Bjorn had a carrier for the next stage, I bought an Ergo. And I really liked it, but I would have liked to know just to try it out and see what the differences were.
Yeah, I had no idea they had that product either. I mean, I fell in love with the Ergo after I ended up purchasing it. But had I known they had this other product, I definitely would have checked it out. We were given two Baby Bjorns at showers and also like some hand-me-downs. So we ended up just using the hand-me-downs. But they have made drastic improvements, I guess, over the past couple of years to help the weight shift in that, because I think that was one of the problems, because Elle was a really heavy baby early on. I had to move out of that pretty quickly, but it sounds like they've made those adjustments. And you really loved it, it sounds like.
I did. I loved it. And when I said 6 months, it was probably closer to 5 months, because I remember doing the research about then and just feeling the weight, my back would hurt if I wore her for more than an hour going on walks. And with the Ergo, I could just wear her for hours and hours at a time.
Yeah, yeah. So go on our blog and check it out. There's some cute pictures of the items that are coming out. I want to give a shout out to Project Nursery, which is an awesome blog that profiles real nurseries that moms have designed for inspiration for all of us looking to add a little chic to our baby rooms. I absolutely love that site. I've already penned a few things for my baby boy's room. But they were kind enough to host that, so go ahead and check them out too. And I guess we can move on now to our next story, which Alex posted about this week. Do you want to give a lead in on that?
Yes, all about discipline. So, you know, you and I have been doing a ton of talking about discipline. I feel like every other day I'm emailing the mommy betas and saying, hey, you know, what do you do about this? You know, what do you do about your child saying no to you all the time, or, you know, not wanting to get dressed? And, so Jennifer had mentioned that she was reading Positive Discipline, and I had ordered this book probably 3 months ago, and I read the first, you know, 10 pages, and I just didn't get into it. So when Jennifer told me she was reading it, I thought it'd be fun to read together so that we could talk about it. And so I wanted just to, I've only read about 50 pages so far, but I really liked some of the strategies and what I've learned so far. And the way we read books in our household is, oh, my husband and I, is I do the reading at night, and then I kind of just share with him some little tidbits. So it's really easy for me to pull, you know, something like this together to share with our readers. But just to give a little more background is, you know, between, I think, all of us mommy betas, we've tried timeouts, you know, giving to the count of three. We've tried rationalizing. But we, you know, really, how effective are they? You know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, depending on the day. And since I've started enforcing some of these strategies that I've learned from positive discipline, I've seen a huge difference in Reese's behavior, and it's only been 3 or 4 days.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, when I, the reason I picked up this book, Positive Discipline by Jane Nelson, is I was touring preschools for Elle, and I toured this one that was a Montessori-based preschool, and it was just for toddlers, 18 months to 3 years, and the teacher was is trained in this, I guess, positive discipline as well, and gives positive discipline training courses. And I learned about this from a mom who was actually visiting the class with her, I guess, maybe 15-month-old daughter. She dropped her son off, and she was just hanging out with her daughter for a little bit before they headed back home. And she had wandered over to me, and we were talking, and she was just raving about this woman's disciplining techniques and how much her son has changed. And so I was like, huh. And then as I sat and I observed, this, the teacher has you come alone without your child and observe her interacting with the kids and watching what they do and, you know, their activities and that kind of thing, which I really liked. I hadn't done that with a preschool before. Usually Elle's with me and it's, you know, oh, look at this, Elle, and what do you think about this? As opposed to, do I really like the way that this is run and how are the other kids interacting and how does the teacher interact with the kids?
Right. The only thing I would wonder, I mean, I've seen it works and now I know it works, but if I were alone without Reese, I feel like Reese is so well behaved with other people, including teachers, and she acts much different when mommy's around.
Hmm. Well, this mom had just said, you know, my son has, it's like night and day since he's been here for a month. So I just took that as maybe he was doing it at home. But these are five boys, which I think, you know, you get five boys together that are around the 2.5, 3-year age range. They can probably get pretty rowdy, mm-hmm. not listen, pretty hyper. And they were, they, you could tell it was there, it was in them, but they knew how to mind. They picked up all the trucks. They all had their own little things of where they were supposed to go and how they were supposed to pick them up. And they really kept going until they completed the task. And then they sat around this little table and with their little table manners, and they all poured their own glass of milk.
Sounds so dreamy.
It's insane. Anyway, so I was like, I need to really check this book out. Yeah. I mean, surely I can do this instead of maybe having to take the class. And I think, Alex, the main point that caught me early on in the book is what you highlighted in the top of your blog post. Yeah. And that was, you know, why do we have to make kids feel bad and in order to make them behave?
Right. I wanted to read this. It's from the author. And it says, where did we ever get the crazy idea that in order to make children do better, first we have to make them feel worse? And I think about that all the time, especially when, even, you know, in PR. I remember when I first started out of college and I missed my first deadline and I felt like I was, you know, getting in trouble. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's just not a good feeling. And why would we do that to kids to make them feel bad?
Right. So they're not understanding.
To just go through a few of the things that Jennifer and I had talked about. And these are things that you can start thinking about now and implementing in your day-to-day with your child. One is just the be kind and firm. And I really like that. Children learn responsibility when they have opportunities to learn valuable social and life skills for good character in an atmosphere of kindness, firmness, dignity, and respect. You know, by being kind to your child, you're showing respect to them. And when you're firm with them, then you're showing respect for yourself. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, so you're not being a pushover, but you're also not being some control freak.
Right. And those are the, well, there are three types of parents that she talks about in the book. And the permissive are the ones that they can just sort of do whatever they want. And then they have the others that are just extremely strict and they don't let anything get by. And this sort of is a mix of those two things, but incorporating, you know, the kindness, but this is how it works. This is how it needs to be done. And this is how we're going to do it. But yeah, I completely agreed with that.
Yeah, and there are some good examples in the book because some people are taken back by that. Well, how are you kind and firm at the same time? Some people think if you're firm, then you can't be kind and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Another thing that caught my attention was talking about children's self-esteem. And the author says it's a disservice to give a child self-esteem, and that the greatest service is to teach them self-evaluation. And so basically what she means by this is, you know, you can give a child self-esteem, but adults can really help them by teaching them that mistakes are wonderful and by allowing them to experience failure. So instead of saying, oh, great job, you did this really well, and just, you know, that constant reinforcement, let them fail once in a while and let them teach them that that's okay.
Yeah, no, I completely agreed with that as well. I think there was something, I posted something on our Facebook page from Ann Landers. It was something she said, it's not what you do for your children, but what you've taught them to do for themselves that will make them successful human beings. So by my sitting there and all struggling with getting a puzzle in the little, you know, a puzzle piece in the puzzle for 5 minutes, if I had just taken it from her and it's like, no, okay, you tried long enough, let me help you, then that's not giving her the satisfaction to know, I can do it. I'm capable.
I know the best thing right now is hearing Reese, I did it, and screaming really loudly. You know, the author talks or says that our children benefit by having opportunities to feel good about themselves when they make a meaningful contribution in their home or school or community. So just something to think about. And the last one. Oh,
I was just going to say, you know, and just letting them figure it out for themselves. I think someone else had written on our Facebook page, too, about a child growing up just constantly asking questions and knowing that he can find the solution because he is asking those questions and we are helping them along the way to discovering what the answer is, but we're not telling them the answer.
Right. Well, that goes into the third item that I wanted to highlight, and is that children are capable. I mean, when I read this, it's something you know, but I do a lot for Reese. And the author says, never do anything for a child that a child can do for himself. That this is the time when they learn valuable life lessons. It's when we as parents take the time for training and then allow them to develop responsibility and self-confidence by practicing. So, you know, one example is we come in and I take Risha's shoes off. Well, she's two. She can do it herself. So she comes in and she unzips her jacket, takes it off, takes her shoes off. And if she gets stuck, she'll ask and use words, you know, help mommy, please. And when she's done with her meal, she takes her plate to the kitchen and puts it in the sink. So I'm trying to find lots of little things that she can own and do on herself. You know, mommy, teaching her that mommy doesn't have to do everything and that she's capable.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And that's one of the things that I picked up when I went to that preschool. And I was sitting there, and most teachers would, you know, hand the little kids their sippy cups or pour their milk for them. And here's the teacher saying, no, you can do it. Let's see you pour your own milk. So I thought that was really great, and it actually encouraged me to go out, and I bought this book called Teach Me to Do It Myself, and it's a couple of different activities that you can introduce to your child. Some of them are basic, like the ones you just said, like taking off your shoes, brushing your teeth, washing your hands the proper way. We can't always let them do it because, yes, sometimes we are strapped for time. But, you know, for the most part, don't just baby your child. Mm-hmm. Let them figure it out. Let them feel accomplished, like they have to feel like they're contributing. That's one of the key points of the book, you know, because I guess, you know, years ago we did need them. We need them now, but we needed their help, to be a part of the family. I guess maybe we've talked about, you know, milking cows on the farm or things like that, as the kids get older. And nowadays that's changed. We still need to figure out how do we help them, make them feel like they are contributing.
Yeah, this is something really small, but Reese was finishing a yogurt popsicle yesterday. She brings me the stick and she goes, Reese, all done. I go, and she just looked at me like, mommy, here, you take the stick and throw it away. And I looked at her and I said, well, that's great, sweetheart. Now you go throw it in the garbage. And she looked at me kind of like, okay. And she did it. I mean, no asking why, no saying no. It was just kind of funny that she automatically came to me thinking, well, that's mm-hmm. my job.
Well, good girl. At least she didn't throw it on the floor in the first
no.
place. That's awesome. Well, we would encourage you guys to go and check it out. Alex and I are only in the beginning of the book. It's not a fast read like the potty training book I've read, but there are a lot of good points in it that really make you sit back and think as a parent, like, this is a little person I'm dealing with. And if I'm just going to yell at them for doing something, what is that? What would, how would that make me feel? Like Alex said in the beginning.
And also just note that it's not only for toddlers. They talk about how to deal with your older children, you know, teenagers onward. So it's really mm-hmm. for the entire family. And if you have toddlers, for them now and as they get older.
That's a good point. All right, well, let's move on. Before we move to our next story, I just want to take a moment and thank our show sponsor, Drobo.com. That's Drobo.com, if I didn't say that clearly. It's a line of backup drives that give you the peace of mind that all your data and photos, basically your life on your computer, is backed up and secure. And I know that we may have our backup, our photos and all that information backed up. I'm hoping you do. But we also want to think about our parents, like the grandparents, because, I mean, they are the least tech savvy of all of us. But they do have important information on their computer. They have images that are important to them. So this can make a great gift for them. It's pretty simple once you have the program set up for them to do this regularly. So I would encourage you to check that out. Go to Drobo.com. We very much appreciate their support and are big fans of the product. So moving on, our next story, we saw a baby center. And it's a study that, I guess, surveyed 2,500 women who have kids between 1978 and 1995. And they found that women who returned to work full-time shortly after the babies were born were more likely to report physical and mental physical health at age 40. So better physical and mental health. And I thought this was pretty interesting. And they didn't mention exactly how soon after the baby. I'm assuming it's the general standard 3 months. But for me, I found this very interesting because I've struggled with this quite a bit. Like, I can't imagine not being able... I'm lucky enough to work from home. And I can't imagine not being able to be here to take care of my little one. But I had a meeting this past week offsite with the client that I represent. And it was refreshing. It was nice to have my mind focused on something else for the day. I can sit here and worry about so many little things about my daughter if I'm here with her nonstop. But if I have somewhere else to be, if I have adult conversations stimulating other parts of my brain, I came back really refreshed. And so that made me question, you know, should I go into the city on one of the days where I work full time from home? So, Alex, can you relate to this at all?
Absolutely. I think that. So, yes, I think it's true that if you're at work and you have something else to do versus you're home full time like I am, that your mind is stimulated in different ways. But I also think, you know, they're talking about mental and physical health. I think it's what you do with your time. So, for example, the past few months, I've been getting a little bit bored being at home with Reese. And so I've been doing things, you know, reading more, trying to get out more, going to the gym, finding time to go to the gym, which is really hard. That means I have to find a babysitter or schedule a little play date where I can drop Reese off. But I have to do specific things to get myself out. Whereas if I had a job or a part-time job, then I would have that. But mm-hmm. I do have to make me get out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You have to make a conscious effort of, I need to do this.
Yes.
I need this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can kind of get in a, not like a funk, but, you know, you're not thinking about yourself as much. Not that you need to, but you need a little something for yourself.
No, I think you definitely need to. I don't think it's healthy for anyone to... You know, I don't like to use the word obsess, but it is obsess and just focus on just one thing when you really need to focus on yourself, too. Because if the mom's not happy, and we talked about this with postpartum depression, if mom's not happy, then it's not good for the baby.
Right.
So mom needs to take care of herself, too.
Yeah. Well, I think it was, you know, we had that meeting the other day and I called you afterwards and we were talking about how great the event was. And you're like, yeah, it was so nice to have some adult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of our conversation is either, you know, when we're on our play dates with our other mommies talking about what's disciplining, and or when the hubby comes home and we're just catching up. And I remember whenever my my old boss and I were talking about after I had decided to stay home and work freelance, she had said that when she was on her maternity leave, that when her husband came home from work, it was a little bit of a different dynamic because they used to talk about different things. And so not that there was a complete lull in the conversation, but it was just a different type of conversation. And she didn't know if she really liked that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. We talk about Josh's day at work and then, you know, all the cool things Reese did. And then I try to update him on anything fun that I did. It's just different. I feel like the kids still, there's just a lot to talk about, especially because he's at work all day. So he wants to hear what went on with her.
That's funny because Tom comes home from work and he wants to hear about what's going on with Elle too. But I guess maybe I'm his main person that he vents to or something like that. So he's usually telling me about his work day. But I could totally imagine myself in that position of when I used to work at my agency and coming home, you know, because that's what you would do. Mm-hmm. You would complain about your job. You talk about why you love it too, but... Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. I have thought about, so I work from home 2 days out of the week, and I'm talked to my old agency about possibly being able to go in and work from their offices one of those days where I could be in the city. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, and as far as working out, I agree with you. I have had to make a much more conscious effort about doing that, but it really changes the way you feel.
I hear you. And it's hard. If I get, like, I try to work out 3 times a week. And if I don't, I just feel kind of, I feel lazy, tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we'd love to hear what you ladies have to say about that, you full-time working moms. If you have opinion or any other stay-at-home moms, we'd love to hear your opinion on that. Let's move on to our last story, which is pretty funny and pretty fun. It's a new app. It's a Chrome app that's called Unbaby.me. And what it does is it replaces all your friends' baby photos with something they like to say more palatable, like cats or album covers. And, you know, I was like, how are they doing this? How is this possible? I mean, and why are they doing this? How are they even making any money? But were you offended at all when you heard about it?
I'm laughing because I post a lot of pictures of my daughter. And I think this app is a great idea because for kids, for people who don't have kids and just aren't that interested, I take no offense if they don't want to see, you know, my daughter taking her first bite of food or her take or watching a video with her first steps. No offense at all. So, you know, and I have a lot of friends who will call me like, wow, you post a lot of pictures. But I would say that the most of them love being kept updated.
Yeah, I would agree on the updated part because, you know, I'm a mommy and post photos too. But I think you're really good about posting Facebook photos. I maybe have seen like maybe one a week when some people...
I was doing like one every other day and it was just a lot. I was like, okay, I'm going to slow it down.
I'll just update her personal blog with that.
Yeah, she does have a personal blog and it's just for the grandparents, so...
I think it's a great idea. But there are some parents who will post like 3 or 4 a day. And I'm even like, come on, people. You've got a cute kid and all, but.
So if you installed this application, then you wouldn't see pictures of the babies.
Well, the way it works is that it scans your Facebook feed for keywords, like cute or adorable, words that would trigger that that's a baby photo. And you can also add your own keywords. And then it replaces those photos with a different photo. But if there isn't a caption or a description or anything, then it won't replace those. So it won't completely get rid of all the baby photos because I never really put a caption.
Either do I. But I mean, it would help with a lot of them.
Maybe I should start. Look at my cute daughter.
Well, Natalie Morris posted on her status, or she tweeted about it, and it went to Facebook with this new application name and said, if anybody wants to do this to me, I won't be offended.
Really? I thought that was from an article that said unbaby.me. Well, how about unfriend.me? So it seemed like some people were taking it personally. I'm not saying Natalie Morris was. I think maybe she was just posting a link to an article that said that.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it, I think most of us will laugh and chuckle. It's by some, you know, created by some 20 somethings who haven't had any kids yet. Yeah. And
no, just are, wait.
Yeah, just wait. You'll be removing this app from your feed eventually. Maybe not. Who knows? Well, that wraps up our show. It's been great chatting with you, Alex.
You too.
And if anyone has, well, you know what? Actually, I forgot to say a little victory. I'm not going to, Alex, are you, I can put you on the spot. Do you have anything?
No, go for it. You seem really excited.
No. I don't even think I have one.
Okay.
That's what we mommies do. We just forget, which I do quite a bit. I don't think I have one. Sorry.
We'll have two for next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you have one, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to share them on the show. So let us know at mb@mommybeta.com. And you can check us out on mommybeta.com. And thanks for listening. And we look forward to speaking with you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.